Got the Nobel Prize for Literature as well. Now, we're going to make a wet road up Milford Lane, up these wonderful 17th century steps, and we're going to go down this beautiful Georgian street. And one of the great characteristics of a Georgian building are 12 panes in the window. Look at that, 12 panes in the window. You've got the fan light above the front door there. And you've got the steps coming to the front door. Perhaps you come to your front door, shout out, chair ho. And with a little bit of luck along would come a sedan chair or carriage. It might match up neatly with the first and second step. Put your leg over, duck your head down, the hatch would go down. And two gentlemen would pick you up. Carry you off to your place of destination. Standing at your front door, shouting out cheer, of course, over the years, has become cheerio. I'm sure you're all familiar with that. Now, William McGonagall, famous poet. He drank in the pub. Well, he didn't drink there because he was a famous teetotal, but he drank in the Edgar Wallace. He was a terrible, terrible poet, deft of poetic metaphor, unable to scan correctly, ill-advised imagery, weak vocabulary, inappropriate rhythms, all combined to make the most unintentionally amusing poet the world has ever known in the English language. He would go to the pub next door called the Edgar Wallace, and he'd read out his poetry there, and he'd be pelted with herring, flour, and eggs. So that's where we're going to go. We're going to use the Edgar Wallace, but this is an example of his poetry. Now, it's probably better with a Scottish accent. Beautiful railway bridge of the Silvery Tay. Alas, I'm very sorry to say that 90 lives have been taken away on the last Sabbath day of 1879, which will be remembered for a very long time. He was terrible. He was absolutely awful. He once walked all the way from Dundee to Balmoral to announce himself as the new Queen's poet. So he walked 60 miles there, got there, and of course he was told that we had a poet laureate, and his name was Alfred Tennyson, so he walked back again. But he toured all over the place, London, went to New York as well, but unintentionally, we think, unintentionally funny. Now, there's the pub, the Edgar Wallace. It used to be called the Essex Head. And it's a lovely pub. It's our first port of call on the Hidden Pubs Walk. Who was Edgar Wallace? Well, he was born in 1875. And he was a brilliant, he became a brilliant journalist. But from a very early age, he literally kind of sold newspapers from the age of 12 in Fleet Street. And then later he got a job at Reuters and then for the Daily Mail. He was the first journalist to be fired from the Daily Mail, first of many, and for inaccurately reporting, and the paper was libeled, and had to pay out fortunes, so he was fired from his job. People said, what are you going to do now? He said, I've got a few ideas, and these ideas became the kernel of his fortune, because he went on to write hundreds of murder mysteries and stories. In fact, 957 short stories, 170 novels, 18 stage plays, translated into 28 different languages and made into more than 160 different films. He claimed, and he did, he could write a novel in 72 hours. 72 hours. So he'd always write the first page in longhand, and then he continued from there, and he'd always just dictate the rest of it to his secretary. And they would publish it as quick as he could write it. One day a friend turned up and was told that Edgar was writing a novel. He said, don't worry, I'll wait. But just incredible, it was said that a quarter of all that was read by the British public during this period was written by Edgar Wallace. And you might think, well, how come I've never heard of him? Well, it may be because he never really had a classic. He never really had a Poirot. He never really had a Sherlock Holmes. He never had a Tarzan. And it was sold on his name. But he was absolutely prolific. So he'd just disappear off with cartons of cigarettes and sugared tea and write these novels incredibly quickly. Eventually, he was enticed over to Hollywood by RKO, and he wrote the screenplay The Beast in 1931. So The Beast is King Kong. So he wrote the original screenplay for King Kong, Edgar Wallace. He's had a kind of posthumous renaissance in Germany, actually. He's very big in Germany. If anybody's from Germany here, you've definitely heard of Edgar Wallace. He's very, very big there, but originally a great, wonderful reporter for the Daily Mail. Now, we're going to make our way towards the Inns of Court, and we're going to walk inside there. Just, if you didn't know, we have two types of lawyers in this country. You've got you've got your barrister, actually represents you at the bar, and you've got your solicitor who kind of prepares the case. Now, if you want to train to be a barrister in this country, you have to be a member of one of the Inns of Courts. So there's four of them. Middle Temple, Inner Temple, which on the south side of Fleet Street, and on the north side, Lincoln's Inn and Gray's Inn. And you'll do your vocational training with them. You'll be called to the bar by your particular inn, and it'll be a support throughout the rest of your career. So this is the entrance into the Inns of Court right here. If we just turn round 180 degrees, you'll see this lovely pub. It's called Robert Devereux, named after Robert Devereux, the Earl of Essex, a great favourite of Elizabeth I. This is where his family home stood, and then she was pulled down, and it was turned into a very, very famous coffee house called Gresham's. And scientists would drink there. Isaac Newton drank there, Edward Halley. Isaac Newton and Edward Halley dissected a dolphin at the Gresham Coffee House, right in this spot. So that's as good as reason any for them to go decaf, I'd say. But let's just go on the other side. You're going to see here, this is Robert Devereux. There's Robert Devereux on the right-hand side there. And this is Dudley, the Earl of Leicester. And this, of course, is Elizabeth I there. Now, Elizabeth, her man, her bloke, was Dudley, the Earl of Leicester. And by 1559, they were virtually, they were just together all the time. He was made the master of the groom, master of horse he was made. 1559, virtually inseparable. 1560, his wife who he kept out of court, fell down the stairs, ladies and gentlemen, and broke her neck, which sounds a little bit suspicious. But yes, that was the case. He eventually remarried, and he married a woman called Lettuce Knollys, which sounds like I'm making that up. Lettuce was her name. And Lettuce, her first husband, and Lettuce gave birth to Robert Devereux. So he's kind of the stepfather of Robert Devereux, the Earl of Essex. And Elizabeth meets Robert Devereux, the Earl of Essex. He's in his 20s. She's in her probably her kind of 50s by this point. And she was hit by a called smallpox in the 1560s. So she lost all her hair. She's got this big auburn wig on her head. She lost her teeth from eating too many sugary things. She's wearing this kind of white makeup. Has to hide the kind of facial scarring from smallpox. I mean, she wasn't badly scarred by smallpox, although her lady-in-waiting, who served her by her bed, you know, minute after minute after minute, inevitably also caught smallpox and was horribly disfigured. That white makeup, Venetian ceruse is called, which is a kind of mixture of vinegar and lead. That's deadly. So, but she very much liked Robert Devereux, great favourite, and he became a popular hero in London. And he marched 16,000 soldiers out of London to take on the Irish. And the whole thing was a massive disaster. Most of his army was dead before he even got there. And he broke a deal with the Irish. He had no authority to do whatsoever. Marched back to London. She boxed him round the ears and he was put under house arrest. And he spent the time trying to put together another rebellion to get rid of the Queen's advisors. He staged another coup and hardly anybody turned up apart from him and a couple of mates. And he was rearrested, and with great sadness and reluctance, she chopped his head off in 1602. I'm not sure you can reluctantly chop someone's head off, but that's exactly what she did. So one of her great favourites, executed, 1602. So let's go inside the Inns of Court here. This is Pegasus. Pegasus is the sign for the Inner Temple. And the Paschal Lamb, the Lamb of Innocence, is the sign for Middle Temple. So when we walk in, this is Middle Temple itself, a wonderful 16th century fine dining hall from 1572. Look at that, incredible building. And this is Temple Gardens. This is where Shakespeare has the white rose and the red rose picked for the representing the houses of York and Lancaster. But let's go inside Middle Temple itself. Incredible building. Look at that, wonderful double hammer-beamed roof here. There's a table commissioned by Elizabeth I from Windsor Park, huge oak table. There's a part of the Golden Hind, the first ship to circumnavigate the globe, got back to Deptford, sat there rotting away. They shipped just the ship's cavern, installed it inside Middle Temple, and that's where you take your oath to Middle Temple over part of the Golden Hind inside the building. You'll do your vocational training here. Originally, how you trained as a barrister, you'd do it verbally. So you'd sit opposite a qualified bencher, and you'd learn it verbally. You'd have to attend a certain number of dinners in these wonderful fine dining halls. After each dinner, there'd be a lecture by a preeminent barrister. Once you've done 12 of them, you're qualified. So it's a little bit more complicated today, but it will still do your dinners today. We still say doing your dinners. 1602, the first production of Twelfth Night was performed here. Elizabeth first came along. It was a huge banquet. And afterwards, she enjoyed a wonderful pudding. But she didn't finish the pudding. So apparently it's been recycled ever since. So you can eat there today and eat part of the Queen's Pud, it said, even today. Now, we're going to make our way around the corner, and as you walk past all these wonderful alleyways and courtyards and arches, you might recognise them from Downton Abbey, from The Crown, from Mission Impossible. You'll see the names of all the barristers, from the clerks right up to the QCs as you kind of walk around. There's a surviving part of the Knights Templar here, Temple Church, which was founded in 1185.